sound.
Yeah, I liked it better when it was called ash. But anyway, it's not just ash. There's a lot of sulfur dioxide in it. And as they were fearing last week, the lava hit the water table at Kilauea, and Kilauea started spewing massive amounts of ash into the air, which it will continue to do for the near future. Now, you do not want to be around the Vog, because the Vog, in addition to having way more carbon, way more sulfur dioxide than you'd ever want to breathe, that ash is actually made up of microscopic particles of glass, which really irritate your lungs.
Yeah. So that's basically like licking fiberglass.
Yeah, pretty much. So you don't want to be downwind of the volcano is what it comes. There is a picture online of people golfing with the volcano going in the background.
That's the thing that's driving me.
But they're not downwind from the volcano. They're upwind, so they're okay over there.
But that's what's driving me crazy about this is how cavalier everybody is being. Like, they have the voluntary evacuation, and people were like, nah, I want to watch over my house. Yeah. I'm just going to hang out. It's like, there is literally a mountain spewing fire a quarter mile from you, and you don't want to leave.
But here's the thing. We get these big coastal nor'easters, and everybody stays in their houses. And people in the other parts of the country look at us, and they're like, you're crazy. When you live on the volcano, your attitude toward the volcano is a lot more cavalier.
Yeah.
It's like, we live with big coastal storms.
The difference being that for most of us, unless you live right on the coast, for most of us, it's an inconvenience more than anything else. For them, it can literally set your house and yourself on fire.
Yeah, but it's lava doesn't move that fast.
Yeah, but it doesn't matter if it doesn't move that fast if you refuse to leave while it's spewing towards your house.
It's sort of like being chased by a sloth. You know, you wake up in the morning, you're like, the lava's at the end of the driveway, and you're like, we're going to have to go today. And
then give me like 15 minutes.
And then like 3 in the afternoon, the lava's halfway up the driveway, and you're like, all right, load up the car, let's go. I guess we're going to lose the house. And, you know, by 6 o'clock, you're actually out the door.
Well, that was my favorite interview that I read of one of the people that lived in those communities was the guy who was like, I mean, I needed to take care of my dog and saw my house from getting looted.
Yeah.
I was like, There is lava very slowly, but very really moving towards your house right now.
But it's not like all of a sudden you turn around and you're like, oh my God, lava. You know, it's like lava is very, very slow moving stuff, you know?
It's slow moving, terrifying, boiling hot stuff.
Yeah, well, that's, you can't touch it, you can't be near it, but you know when it's coming. You know?
Oh my goodness. Okay.
I think some people
we have to move on from this.
I think
this,
some people think you can stand
I'm
there.
I'm never going to agree with you on this.
I think some people think you can stand there and be like, bad lava, and it will go in a different direction.
Bad
it doesn't
lava.
Work that way.
You stop that.
Yeah.
Melania.
Trump?
No, a different Melania. Yes.
And Trump. It's Melania. Please stop calling her Melania. It's Melania. Melania.
If Trump. People keep calling me Shane, I can call her Melania.
Melania Trump.
Melania.
I don't know if she's out yet, but she checked herself into Walter Reed Medical Center for some kidney embolization.
Indeed.
And that's where they go in and set fire to your kidney through a little needle. To cut off the blood flow to something. We don't know what. She has a benign kidney condition.
I would say it's benign, supposedly, so...
We don't know what it
she's
is.
She's not going to die, theoretically.
I think they originally said she was going to be in there for 5 days, and they subsequently revised that and said she'd go home sooner. I'm guessing she was like, how long can I stay?
Oh,
like, please...
That's
please.
Part of why I included the story.
How
it's
long
just
can I
like,
stay? Don't make me like go
a,
back there.
It's like a first lady vacation for her. Just, can I hang out here? Do you have scones? Can I just hang out here for like a week maybe?
Yeah.
And that's, well, in a benign kidney condition, she probably had a few cysts on her. I've had that happen with an organ inside my body where it's painful and nothing.
Could be like a tumor, could be...
Yeah, like it's painful and annoying, but it's ultimately fine.
Yeah.
But hey, I asked them for more morphine. She's asking for a couple more days in the hospital. More power to her.
That's her morphine. being away from the circus. Tom Wolf.
Oh, I saw this and I can't think of it. This is so frustrating. No, I don't know.
Take a guess.
Tom Wolf has the same last name as an animal.
No.
You sure?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm pretty sure.
It spells it with an E.
I'm pretty sure.
The wolves don't spell it that way.
I mean, I'm pretty sure.
No, wolf. The wolf in the woods does not spell it with an E.
Notes. He's a politician.
No.
No.
Oh my God! Wow, really?
Tell me.
Until yesterday, he was the greatest living American writer.
Oh, whatever.
And then he died. At the age of 88.
Now I feel terrible.
Here's a general tip, not just for you, but for anyone else. Whenever somebody mentions a luminary over the age of 70, the answer is usually, "Oh, he they're died. Dead." Yeah, that's usually the answer. Tom Wolf.
His name is actually Thomas Kennerly Wolf Jr.
Yes. he wrote The Electric Kool-Aid Acid Test, Bonfire of the Vanities, and The Man in Full, among other things. Died at the age of 88. And for my money, the most important American writer of the 20th century, possibly one of the most important American writers of all time.
I love his quotes, are wonderful.
Tom Wolf began his career as a journalist and was and The Electric Kool-Aid Acid Test is a nonfiction book. And Tom Wolf was sort of the father of what became known as gonzo journalism and the new journalism, where you would go out and behave like a journalist and gather all your information the same way that a journalist would, but you would then write your reportage as prose, using literary techniques. Tom Wolfe was pretty much the first guy to be successful doing this. People talk about Hunter S. Thompson, and people talk about...
Hunter S. Thompson is another...
People talk about a lot of these people that came along. They would all tell you that Tom Wolfe was the guy that put us on the map. Wolfe was the guy that got us here.
His quotes are beautiful.
Yeah.
A cult is a religion with no political power. That is poetry.
One of the most incredible wordsmiths in human history, a true master of the English language. You owe it to yourself at some point in your life to read The Electric Kool-Aid Acid Test and to read Bonfire of the Vanities. And... those are his two. That's his biggest nonfiction and his biggest fiction work. I will tell you to put A Man in Full in there as well, because I think it is one of the most perfect novels ever written.
The attitude is we live and let live. This is actually an amazing change in values in a rather short time, and it's an example of freedom from religion. Like, oh God, you're making me want to go read a Tom Wolfe book.
Wolfe is great.
Yeah,
Wolfe
this
is
dude
fantastic.
Is dope. I'm just, it's a generation before me.
Yeah.
That's the thing. Like,
well,
I know who Hunter S. Thompson is because of Fear and Loathing, like, and because it became a movie. I wouldn't have read that book had I not been aware of the movie, because I actually wrote a paper about that film when I was in college.
Yeah,
but. Yeah, this dude, you're making me really, really want to.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. If you haven't read any Wolf, go read some Wolf. Electric Kool-Aid Acid Test is a great way to get in.
I mean, just the name of that book is dope.
It's
that's absurdly cool.
And it's about everybody you want it to be about. It's about Ken Kesey, and it's about Owsley, and it's about everybody. Where the best way to describe The Electric Kool-Aid Acid Test is... where Jack Kerouac's On the Road ends, The Electric Kool-Aid Acid Test begins.
Oh my goodness. I was saying, and I know who Jack Kerouac is as well.
It's on the other side of that journey across the country and what happened in California after those years.
So cool.
It is a magnificent piece of stuff. And Bonfire of the Vanities, ignore the terrible Tom Hanks movie. Go read the book. Everything in the book is still relevant today.
I've been meaning to get back into reading lately, so this is a, I think this is a good decision in terms of how to start.
Wolf is the best thing you can read out of male American authors.
Well, speaking of things across the country, Amazon.
Amazon, they're the book selling people. They're raising the price on Prime. Is that what we're?
Nope.
They are piloting a program to give rebates to Whole Foods customers in Florida.
No. You out?
Well, I gave you two Amazon stories. None of them were the proper one. So what's the proper one?
Well, they've completed the process of visiting all 20 cities that are finalists in the e-commerce giant search for a second headquarters. And this pushes, they're Seattle based, but this pushes them one step further in deciding which city will become what they're calling HQ2, which is a move that would net a $5 billion investment and as many as 50,000 high-paying jobs, which is, I mean, whatever city they end up choosing. Like, they've been touring cities for about a year and just trying to figure out. It's just like on Parks and Recreation. I don't know if you've watched that, but the one where they jump ahead and Grizzle is looking for a new campus, Amazon's basically doing that and being like, where should we set up camp? But wherever they do, the economy of that city is going to be insanely stimulated.
Yes.
Like it's going to, whatever city they choose, which I, to be honest with you, I hope that it's a second or third tier city, not to sound like a snob, but like don't do it in Boston or Chicago, or do it in somewhere like Toledo, or you know what I mean? Like do it somewhere that like could use a little... I'd love if they chose Detroit. That city could totally use that. And if memory serves, Detroit has plenty of open space at the moment.
Yeah.
You know, the stuff that hasn't been burned down.
I'm trying to find the latest odds on where Amazon
is going to put
HQ2, and I can't.
That's the thing is there's a reason that it's difficult to find is they're being a bit hush-hush about it. Because they don't want to, first of all, excite anybody unnecessarily. Second of all, cause a massive rush towards whatever city it is. Because if you think about it, I mean, it's just like when I talk about pot being legalized. It's the same word. It's going to create jobs from the bottom to the top.
This is the one that we've been using, Paddy Power. All right, the list has narrowed.
I was going to say they are definitely like that's why I wanted to bring it up is they are in the we have to decide soon phase of this.
Northern Virginia, 5-2. Uh-huh. That's better than 1-1 odds.
Yes,
that's like you lose money if you bet on Northern Virginia. Montgomery County, which I believe is in Alabama, 16-1. Raleigh, South Carolina, 20-1. Nashville, 22-1.
Raleigh's in North Carolina.
Furthest north we've got is Newark at 33-1.
Oh, my God. If they put it in Newark, that is the most disgusting place I've ever been in my life.
You can't put it in Newark.
Nothing
moves in Newark now.
Like, I remember that one time I flew out of Newark, and my one reaction to being in Newark was, I never want to come to this city again.
Yeah.
This is the worst place I've ever been, and I've been a lot of places. Yeah.
Columbus, Ohio, 33-1. Indianapolis.
That's what I'm saying is I'd love if it was like Columbus or Indianapolis or something like that.
33-1. So Northern Virginia, Washington, D.C. area. That's looking like, wow.
Oh, that makes sense. They have to argue with the government a lot, so.
Boston, not even on the list anymore. You were a front runner for a while.
I know. Well, which did make sense in terms of just distance-wise.
Marty Walsh is beside himself. There go all those sweet, sweet union jobs. The Diary of Anne Frank.
Is a good book.
Mm-hmm.
After that, I'm out.
It's apparently a little more frank than we realized. There are two pages in the diary that
good
are
entendre.
Covered over with adhesive-backed craft paper. And it is believed Anne did this because she didn't want anyone to read what was on the pages. So they got a computer and some cameras, and they managed to look underneath that craft paper. And here's what they found: 4 dirty jokes and a description of what sex is.
No one has respect for personal privacy anymore.
The actual content hasn't been published by anyone yet or revealed by anyone yet, but this is what it is. Anne Frank writing down what she knew about sex and 4 dirty jokes.
Oh my God. I love her and the city of Amsterdam even more than I already did, knowing this now.
Pretty much what everyone's saying about this. Yeah,
a diary that can... It contained dirty jokes and a description of what she referred to as sexual matters.
A 13-year-old girl wrote dirty jokes in her diary. Shocker!
I mean, she was in love with the 20-year-old dude that was also living in that attic with her, so...
The one thing that they did reveal was that her father told her what prostitution is. So, Otto might have been getting busy in Paris.
To be fair, I mean, it's Amsterdam. That's one of my biggest regrets of when I was in Amsterdam was my friend being quote unquote too scared to walk down the red light district. Yeah. I was like, this is something that we should do while we're here. But if ever there was a place where you can learn about prostitution, it is Amsterdam. Okay. I'm going to say, Nasser.
Larry?
Mm-hmm.
University of Michigan. Is it Michigan? It's the University
Michigan
of
State.
Michigan State University.
I was going to say, people from Michigan will hate you for
being
wrong. Thank
you. I know. I always get the two mixed up. Michigan State University will pay out $500 million. That's mm-hmm. $500 million, kids, in settlements to people, girls and women that Mr. Nasser molested under the guise of chiropractic
being a doctor.
Yeah, he had a special technique for treating things that turns out was child molestation.
It turns out was totally illegal.
Yeah.
And that the deal is actually unprecedented. It's more than the $109 million that Penn State paid to settle the claims by 35 people as a result of Jerry Sandusky.
They didn't have as many people to pay.
That's
the
true.
Difference.
Well, what I found very interesting was that, so there's 332 victims that are getting a part of this settlement, but $425 million will be paid to them, and $75 million is going to be set aside for anyone who claims victimization in the future.
Yeah.
So if more people come forward, and of course have to provide proper evidence that this occurred... But it's I thought it was very cool that they're just setting aside, like, more people are probably going to be be knocking on our door being like, hey, this dude messed with me too.
Well, in this case, it would be very easy for them to prove whether or not somebody was ever a patient of Larry Nasser.
Yeah, well, exactly. Like, that's the thing, is that that's the beauty of medical records, is that, I mean, and at this point, with all of the testimony, it stands to reason that anyone that comes forward is there's enough precedent set that they don't really need any proof aside from being a former patient of his.
Yeah. This one is largely fraud proof unless he didn't molest somebody and they're claiming that he did.
Unless he didn't molest 332 people.
Yeah. And this could be the end of Michigan State. That's a
lot
of money.
I mean, that's the thing, is that's what blew my mind reading about this, is thinking about, I mean, Fordham calls me for money all of the time, and I'm like, I'm sorry, did you already go through that $160,000 I gave you a decade ago?
Yeah.
And I mean, colleges have so much money, but this is more money than any institution has. This is going to bankrupt them.
They've got $1.1 billion on hand. Because it's a college.
Oh, that sounds nice. I was going to say, because there's thousands of people paying $160,000 to go there, and they pay their professors nothing.
And it's money that is earmarked either for buildings or for programs. So they can always...
This is a great new program they've started up.
They can always raid that. They can raid that to make this payment. But either way... you're going to wind up like seriously diminishing what you're able to do as an institution for a number of years. So it'd be interesting to see how this plays out. I don't think Michigan State University is going to go anywhere. You know, Tom Brady will give them $1 million to bail them out.
I was going to say, you know, somebody is going to bail them out.
Yeah.
Unfortunately. Your turn.
Margo Kidder.
Nope. No idea.
What did I say earlier about famous people over a certain age?
Oh, she's dead.
Yes, she is. Yes, that'll get you through that. Passed away at the age of...
Oh, God, I hate that I just laughed at that.
Passed away at the age of 69 on Sunday.
Oh, young.
Which is young.
Yeah.
Margo Kidder had been battling bipolar disorder for a number of years and was on medication.
There
may be a story here about the long-term impact of some of these mental health medications that people are taking, but we'll find out later on. But she's best known as Christopher Reeve's Lois Lane in the Superman movies.
I was just
going to
say, she's Lois Lane.
She was also in the Amityville Horror. She was
the first one with what's Barbara Streisand's husband's name? James Brolin.
James Brolin. Josh is the not that Brolin. you may also remember her as a terrorized sorority sister in the horror classic Black Christmas, or as terrorized twin sisters in the movie Sisters. She did a lot of genre stuff and did a lot of acting and had some pretty prominent roles. Unfortunately for her, her mental issues really got in the way of her career for a period from probably the early to mid-1980s into the late 1990s. On the flip side of that, she was doing work regularly in television and popping up in different things.
And she was an activist as well.
Yeah.
She was an advocate for... people with mental health problems.
Yep, very strong advocate for mental health. And occasionally there had been a couple of stories about her having breakdowns and, you know, going off her meds or the meds weren't working and strange
things
with her.
Which happens to all of us. It makes us cooler.
But someone who, you know, based on the success of Superman, with a slightly different set of circumstances, probably would have gone on to become a major leading lady.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, I love... it's so funny how I think Wikipedia just started doing this, but the first thing that pops up is quotes that these people said. This is great. My grandson sees me as Lois on TV every Christmas, and that scores me points. That's so cute.
She was a great Lois Lane. She was a good actress.
She is the epitome. She looks exactly like what you picture Lois Lane looking like.
Yeah.
And again, not a comic book person, but... I have a brother. I know what she's supposed to look like, and she absolutely looks like Lois Lane.
I think if you're a man of a certain age, you spend at least one night thinking about
Margo Kidder. I was going to say, you've had a sex dream about Margo Kidder.
Not necessarily a dream, but you spend at least one night thinking about Margo Kidder.
Oh, God. You know what? I think that she would appreciate hearing that.
Yeah.
That's very respectful to her legacy. MSPCA.
The Massachusetts Society for Prevention of Cruelty to Animals.
Mm-hmm.
I've heard more than one story about houses full of dead and unkempt animals.
That's terrifying. That's not what I'm talking about.
This isn't the farm up in Methuen, is it?
No, this is quite the opposite, actually.
And I heard about the New York pet rental law today, but...
No, a dog that was stolen from the Animal Rescue League of Boston last month has been safely returned.
Oh, we talked about this. Yeah.
ARL officials say someone called the MSPCA yesterday with a tip about Nick, the 3-year-old male white and gray pit bull mixed dog, who had been taken on April 11th. MSPCA officials notified the ARL, who went and picked him up and took him safely back to the shelter.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
Did they arrest the idiot that took him?
Yes, they did. They were trying to use him for... he's a pit bull mix. What do you think they were trying to use him for?
Either breeding or dog fighting.
Yes. Second one.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
You went to the MSPCA to pick up a dog.
To steal a dog.
For dog fighting.
For dog fighting. Yes. Okay. According to the news. I mean, maybe they just wanted a pit bull. But
I'm telling everybody in the prison who that guy is in the hope that
he gets the crap pummeled
if
out
I'm
of him.
A warden. If I'm a warden, I'm telling
you're turning
everybody,
a blind eye. Yeah.
I'm telling everybody in the prison who that guy is in the hope that he gets kicked in the nuts hourly.
Yeah, that's
for
what
that.
I was gonna say, like, that is that's one thing that I will say that I actually love about prison is that here's some of the things I love about prison. But that's something I love is they do have their own sense of justice, all the prisoners, where it's like, we all broke the law, but you broke a really bad one.
What,
like,
a complete piece of garbage.
Yeah.
Human,
like,
garbage.
That's the grossest. That's on par with the other thing. The other things people get beat up in for,
yeah,
in prison.
Yeah. The MSP, how stupid do you have to be to walk into the MSPCA and steal a dog?
Mm-hmm.
Really? Really? Yeah, you deserve the hourly kick in the nuts, sir.
And hourly. And the other thing that's going to happen to you.
Well, no, I'd settle for just kicking them in the nuts.
I'll take both.
All right, last one for you. Yenny.
Yenny?
Yeah.
And you don't mean Yanni.
No. Maybe I do.
No idea.
You haven't heard about this audio thing that's going on the internet, Laurel or Yanni or Yanny? Apparently, millennials can't hear is the latest. This has been popping up all over the place. There's this audio clip, and some people...
It is Yanni.
Some people are hearing Yanny or Yanny or Yanni or whatever, and some people are hearing Laurel. I'm normal, so I'll tell you what I hear after I play the clip.
Laurel. Laurel. Laurel.
It's Yanny, Laurel. Obviously.
You're kidding Laurel. Me, right?
Laurel.
It's Yanny. Like, clear as day.
You're kidding me.
Laurel.
Yanny.
Laurel.
You are completely out of your mind.
Laurel.
How are you hearing Laurel?
Because
Laurel.
That's what's being said.
Laurel.
I mean, I can Laurel. Hear how you could think it sounds Laurel. Like Laurel, but it sounds way Laurel. More like Annie.
Laurel.
No, it sounds
Laurel.
Exactly like Laurel, Laurel and nothing at all like Annie.
You're kidding me.
You're out of
Play
your mind.
Play it again. Play it again.
Laurel.
Laurel. No, all I can hear is Yanny.
Laurel.
Wow. Wow. Okay.
Oh,
so
you're old and I'm young.
So you're one of those millennials. You can't even hear right anymore, you snowflakes. I don't know what's been done.
Excuse me.
I don't know what's wrong with you people.
First of all, you know I'm partially deaf in my right ear, so that's offensive. Second of all, you can't hear right.
No, I can hear right.
Because that was clear as day. Yanny.
No, that's Laurel, and apparently...
I can't believe this is a thing.
Apparently, what you hear has to do with your ability to distinguish certain tones. If you hear high tones...
I can't believe that all you heard was Laurel.
That's all I hear. That's the only thing that I hear.
I'm literally going to go home and sit and listen to that over and over again and try to hear Laurel.
If you are more likely to hear... if your hearing is... all high tones, you hear Yanny. If you hear like a normal person, you hear Laurel.
An old person? Did you mean old person? Is that were you trying to say old person?
When I say Laurel...
You mispronounce old person, Derek.
When I say Laurel, do you understand that I'm
yes,
saying Laurel?
Yes, I'm hearing you say Laurel. That said Yanny.
No, that did not say Yanny at all. That said Laurel.
Yanny.
Laurel.
Yanny.
Laurel.
That's how it sounds. Yanny.
No, okay. You're... Wow.
Yanny.
Wow. All right, so you're defective. Millennials are defective.
Hey.
And maybe this is why we have so many problems in this country, is because millennials just don't hear
it.
Right.
Because I hear Yanny instead of Laurel.
Yeah.
That's why our country's doomed.
That's why you hate
you
Trump.
You think that's really the reason?
That's why you hate Trump. You hear him saying things he's not even saying because he's got a low voice.
Ay, 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 ay.
WMFO Medford. 91.5 FM. It is The Big Picture. When we come back, there's a thing that we're going to talk about tonight. I still don't know what it is. It's
heartbeats.
Oh, abortion. That's what we're talking about when we come back, kids. Abortion.
Yay, abortion.
Fun. Yeah, that's why I didn't bring it up, because nobody wants to talk about that. But Iowa forces us to do it. So we'll get into that right after this here on WMFO Medford.
Yanny.
Laurel.
Hi, this is James Brown, soul brother number one, always fighting. Now I'm fighting for your life. I'm fighting for your life because if you use drugs, you better leave it alone. Drugs are contagious. They're killers. Every drug is a killer. Stay away from drugs. Drugs will take your life away. And if you want to live, stay away from drugs. Because they are super bad, super bad, super bad, super bad, super bad, super bad.
This is the sound of salmonella gyrating on your undercooked chicken. And it looks like mom might be taking it out a little early. Don't let salmonella get funky with your chicken. On average, 1 in 6 Americans will get a foodborne illness this year. So use a thermometer to cook each type of meat to the right temperature. Keep your family safe at foodsafety.gov. Brought to you by the USDA, HHS, and the Ad Council.
WMFO Medford 91.5 FM. You are listening to The Big Picture. I am Chase Belaine. With me, as always, is Derek Gary. We're going to be here until 9 o'clock. If you want to give us a call and chime in at 855-915-WMFO. And now for our main topic of the evening. We're talking about this adorable new law in Iowa and the people who are trying to block it and whether or not it's a good idea. Iowa has initiated a new law that bans most abortions after about 6 weeks of pregnancy, citing a heartbeat as the sign that life has begun.
Yeah, basic way that this works is if you go to get an abortion, the doctor first has to do an ultrasound, and if the ultrasound detects a fetal heartbeat, it is illegal.
No go.
For the doctor to move forward with the abortion. You could still go to another state and get an abortion, but you ain't getting one in Iowa.
And if we know anything about Iowa, everyone that lives there totally has the money to go to a different state to get medical treatment.
Listen, if you got the money for heroin, you've got the money. If you got the money for fentanyl, you got the money for... No. Now, the fetal heartbeat typically shows up about 6 weeks after conception.
Yes. Well, and this is the original debate in terms of the abortion argument.
In no way, shape, or form is a six-week-old fetus viable, which is the standard...
Oh, absolutely not.
Which is the standard that the Supreme Court more or less held to with Roe v. Wade. And people who are opposed to this rule say that it's too early. Planned Parenthood, which performs the majority of abortions in Iowa, said that only about 2% of the abortions it performed in all of 2017 took place within 6 weeks. Another provider said that 1.8% of their abortions took place within 6 weeks. So basically, by the time most women realize they got to do something, the law pretty much says it's too late.
Yeah. Well, and again, this is the foundation of the argument about abortion, which is deciding when life begins.
Yeah.
And as you said, Derek, if I delivered a baby at 7 weeks, it would die.
Right.
Absolutely. I don't care if it has a heartbeat. I don't care if it has fingers. It would die instantly. And I like that the actually the American Civil Liberties Union has also filed a suit against Planned Parenthood, and the ACLU have filed suits against the state of Iowa.
Yeah. ACLU does not usually get involved in things
like
this.
That's why I thought it was so important that's saying something.
Now, there are exceptions. There are exceptions where you can get an abortion after 6 weeks. If a doctor detects an abnormality that is reasonably concluded to be incompatible with life, you can have an abortion. So the baby's going to die anyway.
So basically, like, if the baby's going to die, you can get rid of it.
In cases of rape or incest, because this is one that always comes up in these things.
Mm-hmm.
If the woman reports this to law enforcement in a reasonable amount of time.
You are kidding me.
You can get an exception. So.
This is.
Go rat out your uncle who's raping you, and you can have an abortion.
This is the definition of my, like, this is the foundation of my body, my choice.
Yeah.
It's, you cannot define, as I think our listeners know, I am agnostic. I don't really believe in God, but if there is a God, he's the one that decides when life begins. It's not up to a lawmaker. It's not up to anyone to decide, oh, this is, I'm deciding what you're going to do with your body. And you have to think about, too, there are women that die during childbirth. There are women who have horrible complications that leave them paralyzed. There are, you cannot dictate what happens to a woman's body, regardless of the fact that there is a fetus inside of it.
Yeah. The whole,
like, this is the most absurd law I've ever heard of.
The exception of if you rat out your
that's
rapist
what I'm saying,
or
is
family,
like,
lover.
Oh, so if it's a baby that got born out of the worst thing that ever happened to me,
yeah,
or a baby that got conceived out of the worst thing that's ever happened to me, then it's okay if I have an abortion?
Yeah.
Are you kidding me?
So, like, so if I want to get an abortion, I have to destroy my family to do that.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what you're asking women
to
do.
I have to rat out dirty Uncle Mike.
Yeah. And
I don't have any uncles named Mike. That's why I felt comfortable saying that.
And that's going to go over well, because then you got to tell everybody. Everybody in town is going to be like, oh, why'd Uncle Mike get arrested? Oh, because
he impregnated me.
Here's what's going to happen. Because our little slut daughter was sleeping with him, and then she's going to be driven out of town. This doesn't work for so many reasons. This is a nightmare.
This is an absolute nightmare. And this is the product of, and again, religious freedom. If you're religious, great. Like, that's good for, if,
sure,
if it helps you, awesome. Like, whatever you need to do. But this is religious people trying to use science to their advantage. That's what this is. Them saying, well, we're going to make it seem like we're scientifically defining when a life begins so that we can stop this thing that our religion is against from happening.
Which,
that's really not fair.
Which really isn't your problem. And this is where
you don't like abortion? Don't have one.
This is where I've always come down on this debate. Regardless of, you know, whether a person is pro-choice or pro-life, you can have a rational position about this.
Mm-hmm.
And the rational position is this. Religion may be a great set of rules to live your life. It may be a great set of rules to build a society upon. It is not a good foundation for public policy, and has never been a good foundation for public policy.
Absolutely.
There are things that belong to religion, and there are things that belong to the law, and we need to keep those in separate areas.
I would say they need to be compartmentalized.
A law that makes abortion legal does nothing to harm people who think abortions are wrong. If you are opposed to abortion, the fact that there's legal abortion in the United States is not your problem.
Yeah.
It is not your problem.
It's the same.
Let everybody else do what they're going to do. God did not put you here to save the fetuses.
It's just like how, so I totally agree, because, again, I'm agnostic, but I was raised very, very Catholic. And I'm grateful that I was raised Catholic, because it did give me a set of principles. It gave me like a foundation of a moral code. But trying to impose being against abortion again, like on everyone else, is like if Mormons tried to make drinking illegal. It's like, whatever you want to do, cool. Whatever you're against, you don't have to do it. That doesn't mean that you have the right to tell me I can't. And that's the thing, is this is absolutely, especially because it's Iowa, it's so clear that this is absolutely a religion-based bill they're trying to pass. And I keep using the word absurd, but it's the only word that really describes it properly.
It's maybe a little bit more insidious than that, though. Because this is not the first time that someone has tried to pass this bill. North Dakota passed this bill a couple of years ago.
Shocker.
North Dakota spent $500,000, or excuse me, half $1 million of public funds. Taxpayer money. To defend
your
this
taxes
bill,
at work, yes. North Dakotans.
Spent $500,000 of public money to defend their fetal heartbeat law, only to have it struck down by a federal appeals court.
As it should have been.
The strategic thinking behind this, among those who are so vehemently opposed to abortion that they lack all reason or rationality, is that if we keep passing this, sooner or later we're going to get it to the Supreme Court. And by the time we get it to the Supreme Court, Donald Trump will have put enough conservative pro-life justices on the Supreme Court that this will become the law of the land and Roe v. Wade will go away.
Oh, what a great way for women to die from having coat hanger back alley abortions again. That's really...
Roe v. Wade is closing in on 50. It is almost a 50-year-old decision. Let it go. Half a century later, you haven't knocked the thing down. Let it go.
Again, it's just like, I mean, it's like people who are racist. Like, okay, you're racist. As long as you're not stopping everyone else from being who they are and not being racist, do what you do.
Yeah.
As long as you're not messing with me or messing with other people.
Well, as long as you're in your house espousing your racist views to your racist friends.
To your racist friends and not imposing it on other people.
Over Iron City or whatever beer it is you happen to drink.
I always picture them drinking Lone Star, actually.
Or Lone Star. Please, please do not take your racism out into the public square.
And this is the same thing. You don't have to be okay with it, but you can't stop me from having the rights that I have been promised for 50 years.
It goes back to the symbol. It is not your job to make sure other people don't do something.
Yeah, exactly. It is your job. Your job is taking care of yourself. It's being whatever kind of person you want to be and not stopping other people from being the kind of people they would like to be.
Control your own life. Take care of your family. Chip in when you're asked to. Nobody is going to come to your house in the middle of the night and say, you have to go perform abortions
now. I was going to say, no one's going to come in when you're pregnant and just pull the baby out of you.
Yeah.
If you don't want to have an abortion, don't have an abortion.
There will be no mandatory abortions.
But don't tell me that I can't.
If you are opposed to abortion and someone in your family has an abortion because it's legal, then you have failed to pass your values onto your child, and that is not the government's fault. The government does not exist to backstop your failures in parenting.
It's not even a failure in parenting. It's a matter of choice. It's a matter of, if anything, maybe you've raised your kid to be an independent thinker.
If you want to oppose public funds being spent on abortion, I think there is a very valid argument there.
Oh, I think you're just a dum-dum.
I think there's a valid argument there. Because if we're going to go down that road, then I should be able to say, well, I don't want my tax dollars being spent on pork projects and bridges to nowhere.
Yeah,
someone else doesn't want their tax dollars being spent on the military.
Yeah, like, I don't care about potholes, so stop spending my tax dollars on filling potholes.
It's more or less, if you're going to live here, it's what you're going to get.
Yeah.
You know, but this is not going to last. There's no way that this is going to last because we've moved well beyond this position in this country.
That's the thing. It just hurts my brain that that's why I compared it to racism. I'm not trying to be cavalier about this, but it hurts my brain that it is 2018 and we're still having this discussion.
Yeah.
We're still, this is still a thing.
Yeah.
It's, like I said, the only word that I can use is absurd. It is absurd.
Let it go.
Never.
It's really what some people should do. 855-915-9636 is the telephone number. It is WMFO Medford. On the Tell Mikey D, coming your way in just about 15 minutes. But before that, our favorite things from the past week and the strangest things from the past week, right after this, here on WMFO Medford.
I'm Sarah, and this is my story.
I'm Ellen, and this is my story. One night, I was at a bar.
I was having fun with my friends. I had one too many drinks. I got behind the wheel to go home.
I got a cab to go home.
All of a sudden, from out of nowhere, a squirrel ran across the road. It happened so quickly, I barely had time to react. I swerved.
The cab swerved.
I can't believe it. I hit a guy.
I cannot believe it. The cabbie just missed a guy.
I wish I took a cab.
Thank goodness I took a cab.
You have the choice to save a life. Don't drive buzzed. It's a decision you'll never regret. Buzzed driving is drunk driving. Brought to you by the Department of Transportation and the Ad Council.
Everything is awesome. Everything is cool when you're part of a team. Everything is awesome when we're living our dream.
WMFO Medford, 91.5 FM. You are listening to The Big Picture. I am Chase Blaine. With me, as always, is my fantastic co-host, Derek Gary. We are wrapping things up here with two of our favorite segments in the world. The first being What's Hot, which is our favorite thing from the last or coming week. And for me, I just discovered this. I really want to do it, and I think everyone should. At the Museum of Fine Arts in Boston, there's this thing called Drawing in the Galleries, which is every Wednesday. Stop it. Now I hear Laurel.
Oh, now you hear Laurel.
Yeah. It was Yanni before. It's totally Laurel. Oh, my God.
You're a crazy lady.
My brain is going to explode.
Millennials are broken.
But I was broken way before you started calling me that. But no, they have this thing called Drawing in the Galleries every Wednesday from 6 to 9. So if you're not listening to us, go to the MFA. It's a donation, and you can come and sketch. They have live clothes models and also like just let you kind of look at all the objects in their galleries. And it's every level, every skill level, if you're new to drawing or painting or what have you, or if you're an experienced artist. There's also an instructor who gives you kind of advice and helps you learn how to draw, helps you learn how to look at everything. And it's free. It is totally free. It's 6 to 9 every Wednesday. And like I said, if there's a week that we have off, I'm totally going.
Nice.
It just sounds so cool. My friend told me about it, and I was like, I have to talk about this on the show.
You can listen to us on your way over there.
Or you could listen to us while you're drawing.
Yeah. We should make them put us on.
Yeah.
While people are drawing.
I was going to say, we should totally broadcast through the MFA. But yeah, if you want information, go to mfa.org.
That's cool.
It sounds really awesome.
So it's free, and it's art, and
yeah. It's free, and it helps you. They have a drawing instructor that just goes around and tells everybody, like, oh, you're doing this right, or you're doing this totally wrong.
Wow.
That's cool. It sounds like, as someone who inadvertently got her MFA in art, it sounds really cool. Nice. I think that everyone should give it a shot.
Well, if you are one of the handful of people who are invested in the upcoming wedding this weekend between Prince Harry and Meghan Markle,
I'm going to fall asleep while you talk about this.
You're going to like this because this is wedding adjacent. This is not necessarily, this is wedding related. Your friends at Dunkin' Donuts have you covered with, available for a limited time, the Royal Love Donut. I don't know if Royal Love is necessarily anything that should be called anything.
I was going to say, should love be anything but just, you know, simple love?
My mind automatically...
Does it have to have a crown?
My mind automatically starts going places when I see the words Royal Love Donut together. But anyway, they have the Royal Love Donut out. And what this is their heart-shaped donut. They make a lot of these now.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you were going to say what this is ridiculous.
No, it's good. This is their heart-shaped donut. It has jelly filling, which is a win. That's always a plus. Chocolate frosting, also a plus.
Hello.
And then there is allegedly strawberry drizzle on top of that. I got to say, got one today. Route 1 in Saugus. Drizzle was lacking. But the other elements were there.
And how strawberry-ish can a drizzle be?
It could be pretty...
I'm sorry. How strawberry-ish can a drizzle from Dunkin' Donuts be?
It can be very strawberry if it wants to be. The problem is the drizzle wasn't there. On the plus side, chocolate cream donuts at that Dunkin' Donuts. So that was a win.
Oh, get it.
But the Royal Love Donut is only going to be available through May 10th. So if you want one, get down to your local Dunkin' Donuts.
Get while the getting's good.
And get one, or you will miss it forever. So you've got a couple of days to fall in love and make memories with the Royal Love Donut. Royal Love Donut.
I can't stop saying that phrase.
Not available on the internet. Available at Dunkin' Donuts.
Or at least only that version. WMFO Medford, 91.5 FM. This is The Big Picture. We're wrapping things up with That's a Thing That Happened, which is the craziest story from the last week. And for me, a Florida teacher was placed on administrative leave after school officials were told that he had students help him drown wild raccoons during class.
What?
Yeah. A 14-second video published by WKMG-TV in Orlando showed a group of students filling a big tub of water using a hose and later keeping a raccoon, which was inside a metal wire trap, submerged. A mother told the TV station that her son, who shot the video, came home upset about what happened to the animals. The raccoons had reportedly been killing chickens that the students were raising for class. Two raccoons and a possum were killed Monday at this school. And the teacher, Dewey Breton, was placed on paid administrative leave yesterday while the school investigates. The principal said he couldn't comment, saying only that Breton was placed on leave as part of a standard protocol and that school officials did not have issues with him in the past 34 years he has worked on and off for the district.
I kind of get where this is going because, and I kind of get what's behind this because it's like, hey, you're a farmer, you're raising these animals.
And this, and like these ones are hurting them.
This is what you do. You shoot them or you drown them. We trap them, so we got to drown them. But it's like, yeah, don't be drowning animals in front of the kids.
I was gonna say, maybe privately do that because they're messing with, like, don't, if you have to kill the animal, kill the animal.
But yeah.
Don't drown raccoons in front of 14-year-olds.
Yeah, I get it, but no, not cool. Not cool at all. Russia.
Oh, Russia.
The Russian government claims Koku Istambulova is the world's oldest person. But she has bluntly said her longevity was God's will and she did nothing to make it happen. While some people chalk it up to a healthier active lifestyle, Tired Koku said, quote, I have no idea how I lived until now, end quote. Due to turn 129 in 2 weeks, she added, quote, I have not had a single happy day in my life, end quote. The claim was made by the Pension Fund of the Russian Federation and is based on Koku's international passport, which shows her date of birth as 1 June 1889.
What?
During the war, she recalls scary Nazi tanks passing her family home. So, 129 years old, quote, I see people going in for sports, eating something special, keeping themselves fit, but I have no idea how I lived until now. Long life is not all God's gift for me, but a punishment.
Oh my goodness.
World's oldest woman waiting to die.
You know, when you want to go, you want to go.
I have not had a single happy day in my life. I feel bad for her, but at...